Good morning again. Yeah, thank you for this water. People drink this after they get, but I have to do it before. Yes, as I said, Bethesda family is our family, and we are always proud of this church and Pastor Mark and all his family, Shelley, and everybody. Yeah, today is, I took a class a couple months ago at CMU and about Psalms. Could you imagine 5 days from 9 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock, you just read and meditate on the Psalms? Oh, it's a good, but sometimes it's boring. And I chose one of the Psalms that I worked and I learned a lot of things. And this is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Could we all stand and read this psalm together? Please, if you can. Okay. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Thank you. May the word of the Lord be blessed. Please be seated. Psalm 23. And as I was doing my exegetical studies in this Psalm 23, to do it's a 6 verses. And believe it or not, I was stuck in verse 1. I was stuck in verse 1. And bear with me, in the next 25 or 30 minutes, I will only talk about verse 1. And I don't know it will be boring or not, but bear with me. Forgive me. Yeah. My question to you is, how do you make a sense of things that are happening in the world? ISIS in Syria, Iraq, Islamic fundamentalism in Yemen, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, economy crisis in Greece, racial challenges in the U.S., FIFA, corruption. Last Friday, we heard from the news that there were 3 terrorist attacks in one day in France, Tunisia, and Kuwait. I believe that East suffers from extreme fundamentalism and West suffers from extreme freedoms without responsibility. How do you make sense of a parade of pride a couple weeks ago in our own city? How make you sense about 100,000 abortions in Canada per year? I believe we are surrounded by this negative news every moment of our lives, and they affect us all the time. I think the roots of these challenges in the world and in our own city is the heart of people. People wanted to show their heart desire by exercising their own will and power over others in a very stressful way. I don't know what kind of stress you have in your life, but I'm sure I have a couple of them. And this is a stressful life, especially living in this 21st century. David was a king and a prophet, but he had a high level of stress in his life. The Bible commentary wrote about Psalm 23 this: we do not know when David wrote Psalm 23. Perhaps it was when his son Absalom tried to become king. David ran away from his own son. What a stressful life. Running away from your own son. He went onto a land that we call Gilead. There he met Barzillai. Barzillai was a shepherd. Barzillai gave David food and shelter. All this made David think God was like a shepherd. God was like a guide. God was a good friend. David put this idea into Psalm 23. This psalm has helped millions of believers around the world. Some of believers, they have memorized this psalm. And it's very helpful to remind us about God's care and love. Let's together do our homework to study the first verse of Psalm 23 and see how we can progress in the next little while. Verse 1 is a central verse in this psalm that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Many English translations, it's interesting, many English translations write the word Lord with all capital letters. With all capital letters. Do you know why? We'll go there. With all capital letters. L capital, O capital, R capital, D capital. In the Old Testament, we see mostly three God's names. Yahuwah. Both Jewish and Christian accept the name Yahuwah as being God's Hebrew name, as it was preserved in the original consonantal Hebrew text. God also said to Moses, look here, and to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, Yahuwah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am be remembered in every generation." What you see here in the name Yahuwah, you see the relation, the relationship in the name Yahuwah in Exodus 3:15. The relationship. Yahuwah is the relational God. And the second name is Adonai. Yahuwah in Greek is Kurios, and in English, Lord with all capital letters, Adonai. The name Adonai, translated Lord with one L capital, occurs approximately 300 times in the Old Testament. In Hebrew, Adon means one, possessed of absolute control. It denotes master, as of slaves, in Genesis 24:14-27. The true meaning of this name is in the Hebrew language, indicates mastership or ownership. From this, we can clearly see God's outright ownership of all things in heaven and earth. This also clearly defines our role as servants to our Adonai. It is interesting that in the Greek, they translated both words as Kurios, Kurios, or in English, Lord. And the third name is Elohim, the most frequent Hebrew word for God after Yahweh. Elohim is used more than 2,500 times in the Old Testament. Elohim is the third word in the Hebrew text of Genesis and occurs frequently throughout the Hebrew Bible. The most likely roots of the name Elohim means either be strong or be in front, denoting the power and preeminence of God. The words Yahuwah in Hebrew, or Kurios in Greek, and Lord Master in English are relational words. They are in relation with humans, with people, with generation from the beginning. Let's see how the ancient Near East gods in that time, they were in history. This is the map of ancient Near East. Let's see how ancient Near East. The Canaanite god Baal, also known as Hadad, the god of rain, storm, the fertility. Ancient Near East located in the area where experienced war and calamities. I would say the current Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Syria, Iraq, Egypt, except for Egypt. This is where this Near East ancient day left. These gods were very angry gods, because this was in the root of trades. They experienced wars. They experienced calamities. They were angry gods. If you look in the Muslim gods, this is similar to the Near Asian god. Angry god. Angry god. Does not have any relation to humans. What people would do, people, to make these gods happy, they make sacrifices. They sacrifice their children to calm the anger god. You see the difference between Yahuwah and other gods? Yahuwah was relational. These gods, they did not have any relation. Egyptian gods, they were more happier because Egypt is beside the river. And Egypt was a land of many false gods. They had 360 primary gods, one for each day for the Egyptian calendar. Egypt had a better climate, and their gods were positive gods. There was gods, Egyptian gods, they were positive ones. When God said to Moses in Exodus 3:15, "Say to Israelites, Yahuwah, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation." Yahuwah, our Lord, is the only relational God. The only relational God that exists from eternity to eternity. Ancient Near gods and Egyptian gods did not have and do not have any relation with people. People were the tools for those gods, but for our God, people are made in his own image. In his own image, we are made in the image of God, we are created. To love, to serve, to care. The characteristic of gods in Near East was that they did not have any relation to humans. Again, humans were the tools to make them happy. Humans were sacrificing their children to gods to make them happy or stop for their anger. These gods were fighting between themselves. Bigger gods were smaller gods. People in those areas thought that calamities and wars are the result of fighting between gods. Therefore, they sacrificed themselves to calm their gods. 3,000 years ago, Yahuwah was the only relational God. And now, the gods of Asia Near East became historical sites. But still, our God lives forever. But people created new gods in the 21st century, like power, like money, like religion, like egos, like technology and social media, and tried to make them relational for their success or for better life or freedom. I think and believe that nothing wrong with power, money, religion, technology, and social media if they are used as a tool to advance the kingdom of Yahuwah and serve God. But the problem of corrupt human heart is that we use God for ourselves as a tool. Let's look in the second word in verse 1. We looked in the word the Lord. Now look in the word, the verb is, what it means. English dictionary describe the word is has third person singular present indicative of be. The Lord always present and in this time, present time. The Lord is always in the present time. God, our Yahuwah, is always in the present time. Not in the past, not in the future. Always in the present time. Number one, the meaning of the word is to exist or live. What it means, the Lord is means the Lord exists and lives. Number two, to take place, happen, occur. The Lord is means the Lord omnipresent. He is all the time and everywhere. Number three, to occupy a place or position. The Lord is means the Lord is above all. The Lord is omnipotent or can do anything. Four, to continue or remain as before. The Lord is means the Lord is from eternity to eternity. To belong, attend, befall. The Lord is means the Lord relational. He is at work all the time. So far we learn that Yahuwah our Lord is our relational God. Exists, lives, he is everywhere and all the time. He can do anything. He is from eternity to eternity. He is relational. He is at work all the time. Let's together explore the word my. Oh, I love this word. We all love it. David did not say in general, the Lord is shepherd of all the world. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't think that the word my needs a lot of explanation. We use this word all the time. My wife, my car, my son, my daughter, my job, my reputation, my house, my desire, my money, my RRSP, my savings, my friend. And the list goes on and on and on to my. And we are sick of it sometimes. Now let's talk about the word sheep and shepherd. Shepherd were and are those who tend to feed. First, let's talk about the sheep. I took these two pictures. You already know what the difference between these two pictures. The picture on your right is from United States, and the picture on your left is from Afghanistan. Both are the sheep. You see the difference between these two sheep? But God is Lord of all. This is might be the difference between believers as well, between people as well. And God loves them all. Shepherds were and are those who tend. I also took a picture of two shepherds. On your right, this is the shepherd in the United States, in Texas. This was taken in the early 60s. You see this shepherd? It's like a warrior. And this other shepherd in Afghanistan, he doesn't have anything. Probably the psalmist was talking about the other one who was like in Afghanistan. And shepherds who tend, feed, and guard flocks, sheep, they are mentioned very often in the Bible. The Hebrew word and sheep, they are mentioned very often in the Bible. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is pronounced rao'au, and Greek word is in the New Testament is pronounced poimen. Shepherds were the lowest. Here is, look here. We learned that Yahuwah was the highest, the most high God. Here, the shepherds are the lowest class of society. They did not clean themselves. They did not have education. They were not part of religious leaders. In our context, shepherds were somebody like refugees from Syria to Jordan or refugees from Afghanistan and Greece living in the streets and don't have anything or anybody. In the context of our own city, shepherds would be homeless people that nobody wants to relate with them. David was a shepherd boy, and when he was under the care of another shepherd, fleeing from his own son, he experienced these shepherd's cares and love. After he was saved and experienced, he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's paraphrase, for the sake of explanation here, this psalm. I would like to paraphrase this psalm in a negative way in the beginning and say that if, in a negative way. If the Lord is not my shepherd, I shall want. If the Lord is not my shepherd, I shall want everything. I shall want money, I shall want power, I shall want reputation, I shall want pride. If he does not make me lie down in green pasture, if the Lord is not my shepherd, he does not make me lie down in green pasture. He does not lead me beside still water. He does not restore my soul. He does not lead me in the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear evil, for he is not with me. Your rod and your staff, they does not comfort me. If the Lord is not our shepherd. If the Lord is not our shepherd. You do not prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If the Lord is not our shepherd, you do not anoint my head with oil. My cup does not overflow. Surely goodness and mercy shall not follow me if the Lord is not our shepherd all the days of my life, and I shall not dwell in the house of the Lord. This is the heart of the gospel. If the Lord is not our shepherd, I shall not dwell in the house of the Lord. But the house of the Lord is not the physical, but in the midst of God's will. Thank God that David knew the Lord is his shepherd. I thank God that we all know the Lord is our shepherd. Let's say, the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. David also prophesied that Messiah should connect these two, Yahuwah with the shepherd. Yahuwah, the most high God, with the lowest person on the earth, like shepherd. David was taking here about the spiritual shepherd, referring to Jesus as the Messiah. The ultimate spiritual shepherd that brought Yahuwah to the earth is our Lord Jesus. If there is no Lord Jesus, the Lord our shepherd is doesn't make sense. Let's see this verse again through the lens of Jesus. The Lord is our shepherd through the lens of Jesus. The word Lord speaks of Jesus, deity, to be the Lord of all. And the word shepherd means of his humanity. What a short verse that explains the foundation of our theology. 3,000 years ago, there were many kinds of shepherds, but Yahuwah was the only good shepherd. Nowadays, there are many different kind of bad shepherds as well that use religion, power, money, technology, and want it to rule us. Jesus is the only good shepherd in the world. Jesus said in John 10:11, "I am a good shepherd." I am refers to Jesus himself and also to Yahuwah. Jesus used the word a good shepherd simply because in the times of Jesus, look here, in the times of Jesus, there was not humane society to defend the rights of sheep. And there were bad shepherds, as do we now. There were many thieves and bad shepherds. You know what the shepherds do sometimes when the sheep goes astray in the Middle East? Actually, the shepherds breaks the sheep's leg. If the sheep goes astray many times, then shepherds breaks sheep's leg that he will be lame for the rest of his life and he will be close to shepherds. This is what the shepherds some do in that time, 2,000 years. Here Jesus said, "I am a good shepherd." Thank God that when we go astray or in our own ways, Jesus does not break our legs, because he is a good shepherd. And also he gives Holy Spirit that enable us to serve him willingly, and we can be close all the time without fear or punishment. You see how the Lord is our shepherd makes sense when Jesus said, "I am a good shepherd." What it means that Jesus always do good. Always do good. He is in the good business. He is in the good business. And we don't have to have fear of punishment. That if I go astray a little bit from Jesus, then he will break my leg. No. Jesus is always gentle to us. He has always wanted us to come closer to him. Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing." Jesus exactly addressing sheep that go astray like you and me, and also bad shepherds. In other hand, Jesus on the cross is the ultimate sign of connecting Yahuwah, the relational God, to his people from all races, languages, and backgrounds. You see, David was thinking about the Jewish. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he meant the Jewish. He meant the Israelites. But when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he meant for all races, for all people. We are all equal before the cross of Jesus, and we're all in need of grace. Doesn't matter where we live or from which background we are. You look, God, Jesus is a good shepherd. Let's see what it means, really, in the Bible, in the New Testament. What means Jesus is a good shepherd? Okay. What it means Jesus is a good shepherd? He is a good shepherd, John 10:11, as such he died to pay the penalty for our sins. No man died for another one, but Jesus died for all our sins. He is the great shepherd, Hebrews 13:12-20:21. As such, he rose to save us from the power of sin. He is the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5:4. As such, he is coming again to save us from the presence of sin. He is the Savior shepherd that came to save the lost, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came seek to unsave that which was lost. He is like the cornerstone, concerned shepherd of Luke 15, who goes seeking for the lost sheep until he finds it. And when had found it, he laid it upon his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he couldn't come it home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Doesn't matter where this lost sheep is, here in these apartment buildings, or in Afghanistan, or in Saudi Arabia, or Iran. Jesus is looking for those lost sheep. He is the shepherd who is touched by our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15. He is the shepherd who comforts us in all tribulations. He is the good shepherd who knows his sheep by name. This is very important. Jesus knows us by name. Jesus knows us by name. He is the shepherd who can weep over his sheep. This is also very important. No other gods weeps over his people. Only Jesus, only Yahuwah, he weeps. This is Let's get it to our hearts. This morning, we took Diana, our daughter. She left for Quebec for a month for English practice. And at the airport, we saw an East Indian man, and he was saying goodbye to his sons. And I saw this East Indian man, how he started crying. You see, this is exactly the heart of God. When we say Jesus crying, it is because of fear? No. It's because it is heart of God. God, Jesus, when we are suffering, when we are doing things, then Jesus also weeps and he has this heart. This is why I say our Father in heaven. He is our Father. So far we have learned that the Yahuwah is our shepherd and Jesus is our good shepherd who connected the Lord with his people for all nations. My third point is the most important or touchdown moment of the sermon. You see, so far we talked about God. When people ask me, what is your biggest challenge in the ministry to Afghans, to Muslims? My answer is the communication. How we communicate and connect. How we can communicate and connect or demonstrate the Lord is my shepherd and Jesus is a good shepherd in our daily lives. I think this is the heart of this two verses that we learned is how we can communicate, how we can connect the highest, the most high God to the lowest person like you and me. How we connect these two and others. Most high God to the Muslim, to the ordinary Muslim in our city, our neighborhood. How we connect these two. In John 21:17, we read, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. You see, the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. But these two does not make sense if we do not feed or tend the sheep. Some translation says feeding the sheep. Tending is more than feeding. Tending means taking care of somebody, to be a servant, to watch over somebody's needs, and to pay attention to the needs of others. In James 1:27, we read, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Believing and the Lord is my shepherd, and Jesus is a good shepherd, means helping and serving others in our family, in our relatives, friends, our church, our communities, in practical ways. And I love this last part, I don't know. Jesus always wants us to go extra mile. You see, we might ask Jesus, hey Lord, we can't do the normal, our daily things, and you're asking us extra miles. It's like somebody finished a marathon of 15 kilometers and you are asking him, go another 5 kilometers. It seems, in our eyes, it seems ridiculous. But Jesus doesn't want us to go extra mile by our own strength. He says, go extra mile because he already went before us. He already went before us. He said, all power on earth and heaven is given to him. And this extra mile, what my suggestion is, I think that the extra mile for Bethesda Church, for our family church here, it is the leadership who will decide, but probably it means to serve single moms that lives in these apartment buildings. Probably it means to help new immigrants and their children. People who have a low income families in these apartment buildings. There are hundreds of them around Bethesda Church. It means praying for the leaders in our church, city, and country. Prayer brings God's heart to our heart that we know and serve him better. The Lord is my shepherd, and Jesus is a good shepherd, means helping my wife, helping my children, serving in our church, serving in our communities. You know, in terms of helping my wife, a couple weeks ago or 2 months ago, for the first time in my life of it's close to 20 years of marriage, I started ironing my shirts. And one day I ironed my 10th shirt and I was very proud of myself, and I came to Miriam and I said, "Miriam, I did this, I never did it before, I ironed my shirt, 10 of them." And I was proud. And Miriam looked at me and she said, "Did you iron my shirt?" You see, the difference is that she was ironing my shirt for the 18 years or 19 years. She never said that, "Iron your shirt." But I ironed my own shirt and I was proud of myself. You see, what God wants is, yes, it is good to iron your shirt. How many men here iron their shirts? Okay, a few of them, thank God. Here is, it is good to iron our shirts, but what, and you know what, the next line that Miriam said, I never said it before, and the next line she said, "One day you will iron my shirt." It is work in progress. Okay? Here, this is exactly what Jesus wants us. Not to take care of our own stuff, our own needs, our own desire, our own ambitions, our own money, our own savings, our own job, our own reputation, our own pride, our own diploma, our own assignment, but also to helping others. And the heart of it is, you know, that Jesus, I do not know, but one day I will ask Jesus, why you make things harder for us than we cannot do just the regular one? He always makes things harder for us. Yes? You agree with that? Jesus always makes things. What he says, that you're not only doing this for your friends, but you do this for your enemies. I couldn't iron my shirt. I can't iron my shirt for my wife, and Jesus asking me to do this for your enemies. You see, for me in my own head, doesn't make sense. But Jesus wanted us this. Why? Because he wanted to go with him together to do these things. With Jesus. The Lord is our shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." It actually, he wanted us to be shepherd to each other. You know, the shepherd's heart, when the shepherd sees one sheep is smelly, the other sheep is ugly, the other sheep is lame, the other sheep is blind, he doesn't say these things to sheep. "You are smelly, I'm not going to help you. You are blind, I'm going to not help you. You are lame, I'm not going to help you. Or you are different color than me, I'm not going to help you." This is exactly where the heart of gospel comes. That Jesus helps all the same. Did you see that this picture that I showed you about these two shepherds? And shepherds in Afghanistan, the shepherd boy, for him to have this horse or a dog doesn't make sense. That shepherd will say, "I don't need this. I'm a shepherd. I have just my stick, that's it. And the Lord is my shepherd." But and probably for this man from Texas, United States, that boy doesn't make sense. But here comes the heart of the gospel, that the Lord is shepherd for both of them. And what my point is, that the Lord is shepherd for all of us, for these people, single moms living across an apartment building, for orphans, for immigrants. This all, the Lord is our shepherd. And I would like to encourage you that just to do what you are doing, do an extra mile. Do an extra mile. Thank you, and the Lord bless you.